It's not my style anyway, and I'm not tall enough to be Andrew, so I'll just have to be me this morning, okay? So the theme really that we've been thinking about in DNA over the past few weeks is the theme of being loved by God. So I don't think anybody would disagree with the fact that we believe, as Christians, that we are loved by God. We've got a verse in 1 John 3, verse 1, I'll just put that up for you. And also this one in Jeremiah from the Old Testament. So I think DNA were mostly in agreement that they thought in their head that we were loved by God. But interestingly, when Daniel did the question, how did God show his love to us, we were a wee bit slower to come up with answers. Okay, we did get a few, some good ones, but a wee bit slower to come up as to how God shows his love for us. And sometimes what we admitted in DNA is that we don't behave as if we are loved. Actually, sometimes we wonder about looking or carrying a lot of guilt. It doesn't seem to stretch as far as our heart, this knowledge that we are loved by God. And we can even feel pretty much like rubbish. Might even feel ashamed. So ashamed that we don't want to talk to our Father God. We thought about the things that we think when we feel ashamed and we feel rubbish, and this is the list that we thought we might think. So we might think, I'm too young. When God might ask us to do something, we think, I can't do that because I'm not clever enough to whatever it is. I don't have enough faith. I'm not like fill in the space. Interesting, we came up with, I'm too old, which is a bit sad, considering most of us in DNA are young. So this kind of negative thinking comes frequently to us when we feel ashamed, which didn't sit very well with the knowledge that we are loved by God. But it does stop us doing things. The other thing that we constantly do is compare ourselves to each other. And I don't think it's just DNA people who compare themselves to each other. I think as adults we do that as well. So in DNA, we thought of some of the behaviours that we might fall into when we get into this cycle, what we might do to make us feel a bit better. So the question that the group were asked is, what do you do when you feel yuck, when you feel ashamed, when you feel rubbish, when you're comparing yourselves to other people, and when it's not looking particularly good? So this is what, these are some of the ideas that we've come up with, and I'm going to see if they make sense to you, and I've added a few as well. So let's see if we can work this out. Okay, so we've got Netflix there. Okay, why is Netflix there? Any ideas? Why have I got Netflix there? It's not a bad thing, is it? Netflix is quite fun. Hannah, why have we got Netflix there? You can binge watch stuff, exactly. So we're feeling horrible, feeling ashamed, we might binge watch. I'm sure nobody does that there. Okay, let's hear. Okay, what else have we got? We've got a peacock on the top corner. Peacock, anybody? Peacock, why have I got peacock there? Yes? We pretend. Yeah, we put on maybe a show that we're proud, that we're beautiful, and actually inside we're feeling quite ashamed. Okay, I've got a nice cherry cake or a cake with a cherry on top in the middle. Why have I put that there? Any ideas? Cherry cake. Yeah, go for it. Indulging, yeah, who doesn't like their cherry cakes, okay? I've got somebody who looks as if he's going to shout at me at the top. What's that to indicate? Ollie, what was the guy at the top indicating? Okay, that's fine. Michael, any ideas? The guy at the top who looks like he's jumping up and down. His behaviour is... Yeah, he's angry. So he feels ashamed inside, but what he shows to the world is he's really quite angry. We've got, that's not communion wine, by the way. That's just alcohol in general. Okay, so that's another one for, you might choose to indulge in alcohol if you're not feeling particularly great. We've got somebody in a hammock. This was one of the ones that DNA came up with, interestingly. Daniel, can you remember what the one in the hammock was about? What's the guy doing? He is sleeping. So some of us, when we want to avoid our feelings, when we feel ashamed, we feel disgusted with ourselves, one of the things we might do is sleep. Okay? Not my idea. Somebody from DNA. Okay? We've got one that surely is a good one. Work hard and be nice to people. So a nice motto. Is So again, that could be a performance. So if we feel ashamed, we feel guilty, we might put on a performance, or we might try to work hard and be nice and get by. Okay, so I don't think I've missed anything out there. And this was the vicious circle that might happen when we feel ashamed. So when we feel ashamed frequently, we don't feel like talking to God. And as a result of that, we don't know what God's saying to us, and we don't know what he wants us to do, so we don't reach our potential, and we might act out. So we might be the peacock, or the guy who's really angry, or even the guy who's pretending that he's being nice to people, or maybe he's actually being nice to people. And as a result, we don't actually feel better, but we continue to feel guilty and feel ashamed, and so it becomes a very much a vicious circle. So the debate in DNA Chem and the discussion, which was a really useful one, was when we decided what we could do to prevent this vicious circle. So what I wasn't telling your young people, and what I would never tell your young people, is that guilt and shame are bad things. They're actually very helpful emotions, and we need them. If we didn't have guilt or shame, we'd be in a pretty bad place. But what isn't glorifying is getting stuck in this vicious cycle. It's not glorifying to God and not helpful. And we had a discussion about what we should do about it. And this is the question that came up. What does God see when he looks at me? So I think you would agree with me that we teach our young people from Sunday Club that God knows everything, God sees everything, God knows that we do. He sees us when we're alone, he knows what we're thinking. So if God knows that, how can we come to him and expect him to talk to us and to show us love? How can God love us? And the discussion was around this paradox of how can God know me and yet forget the things that I've done or my motivation for things? How does that sit? How does that paradox work? And that's when we talked about actually when God looks at us, he doesn't see and he doesn't remember what is in our heart, what our motivations are. What he sees is his son. And through that pathway, we can actually speak to God. That was quite an important realization for our young people to understand. And I'm not sure I convinced everybody, by the way. And I'm not going to stand here and try and convince you all either. But when God looks at us through his son, he sees us to be sinless, which is really important. We thought about the vicious circle again, and we thought about some positive thoughts that we might have instead of the negative ones. So instead of saying, I'm not like X, I'm not clever enough, I can't do this, we thought about some of the things that we sometimes forget. We thought about the fact that we are loved, we are a child of God, that God has a plan for each of us, that God loved me so much that he sent a son to die for me, and that even the very hairs of my head are numbered. So that was an interesting one for Hannah, because she's got a lot of hair. I am forgiven, and I am chosen. So these were some of the things that we thought might be helpful to remind ourselves the next time that we feel ashamed and we feel that we can't talk to God. Then we had a really good look at the verses that Michael has read. So I don't know if you recognize them from the Message version. In DNA, we use NIV and we use the Message, but what we're trying to do is work out what the words mean for us. And sometimes we use the Message because it gives us a different perspective. And we have had a look at different other versions as well. So in this passage, Ephesians chapter 3, we have Paul writing to the Ephesians while he's in prison. We often hear Keith give a blessing, or I think it's called a benediction, at the end of the service. And the bit that we really want to speed up and get to is the bit where it talks about how amazing God's love is. But what was really interesting to look at was the bit that comes before it, actually. So if you look at verse 3, it's a request for prayer. So Paul is praying that the Ephesians might have strength. And what's interesting is where the strength comes from. So in verse 17, he mentions by faith. So he's asking the Ephesians to have faith. But then, by realizing and recognizing that it's knowing God's love, and through knowing God's love, that we can be rooted and established. So that's the NIV version. So interesting, because we don't often think of love as something where we draw our power from. But in DNA, if you're a young person and you feel unloved, it says a lot about your behavior and what you're able to do. And I think it's the same for adults. When we feel unloved, we frequently don't live up to our potential. We don't feel strong. We feel dejected. But when we know we are loved by God, we can be rooted and established, allowing us to reach our potential. And it says also in verse 19 then, so that we can live lives to the full, really, so we can have full lives, so we can be what God designed us to be. So this is quite a revelation for us when we thought about this, because this changes how we think of our identity. It changes how frequently we can come to God. And it changes how we might actually behave if we know we are loved by God, and what we might say if he asks us to do something. So it was a good discussion to have, and not everybody agreed, but yeah, we got some interesting debate from that. This is a book that I think Jeanette recommended to Keith originally, or Keith recommended to Jeanette, I'm not sure, but it did three of us. I ended up with it at one point. And it's is along similar themes. So if anybody wants an accessible book to do some further reading or to come back to me and talk about it a bit more, it's along a similar theme. We read this last year. So you can also look out for the author. He writes quite clearly, which is good. So I'd recommend him for an older teenager as well, I think. As well as an adult, definitely. So DNA were very clear that they just didn't want to do the service. They've actually contributed quite a lot of thought to it today. So as I said at the beginning, they decided the theme, they decided the songs, which were linked. They did a lot of discussion around what they wanted you to think about. And they were very clear about one thing. They were very clear that they just didn't want it to be a service, that it had to change something, or what's the point of doing it? At this point, I nearly sent them to Keith to talk to them about how he feels after a service and what he wants to leave his congregation with. So what they wanted me to do was to have a few quiet moments to think about some of these possibilities. So, okay, God loves us. We knew that, didn't we? I suppose what we're asking is, do we really and truly understand what that means? So I'm wondering if it's possible that you're stuck in a vicious circle in your relationship with God, that you feel ashamed, you try to talk to God about it, but the shame doesn't go. I wonder if you feel that perhaps you're bored in your Christian life, and you come to church maybe nearly a few Sundays a month, but you're not really reaching your potential. It doesn't really change things for you. Or I'm wondering if there's something that you might need to think about or talk to someone about. So feel free in your small groups this week to have a further conversation, to come back to me, or even to talk to one of the kids to get their views on these particular themes. But what I'd like to do now is just for a minute to have a period of silence and some reflection, to think about perhaps one thing that you're going to go away and have another look at. And then I'm going to ask Keith to come up and close.